Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I hope everyone has been keeping up with what has been a very busy week in the world of, well, British swimming to start with and world swimming as well, European swimming. There's been some amazing swims and me and Dan are going to take you through our review of the European Short Course Champs on this week's show.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's in summary, I think we did very, very well. I mean, some of the times hit and some of the medals, obviously, that we won as well was quite incredible. We're going to try and go through it day by day. I think we don't want to try and miss anyone out, but we'll try and squeeze it all in and within, I don't know, let's say 30, 35 minutes, something along those lines.
Ambitious. But,
I know. Well, we go on our tangents, don't we? But yeah, they did very, very well and we'll get into it.
Yeah, rather than, I think, taking you back through each and every race, because I'm sure everyone either watched it or has read about it or has followed Paul Boy Steve's tweets about it because they were keeping us up to date. Well, while I'll be honest, I was on holiday for some of it. Instead, we're actually going to talk about the implications for like British swimming, what we think this means leading forwards into trials and potentially further afield into the Olympics as well.
Yeah.
Now, this, like you said, there's so much to talk about. Obviously, Brits topping the medal table for the first time ever at European Short Course. So there's so many positives that we're going to get into. But I want to start on the negative side.
As always.
Get this out the way very early on. European Short Course scheduling. What I on know. Earth?
It almost got worse and worse as the days went on. I've made a little note here, actually. And
it's nuts.
It's incredible. So I think it was day four. So you had the women's 100-back semis and the 50-back final for the women in the same session. And then on the next day, on Saturday, you had the men's 100 free semis and also the 200 free final in the same session. And then this is the most bizarre one. On the last day, you had the women's 400 free final. And then about 10 minutes later, you had the 200 free final. Like, completely outrageous. Like, who designed that madness?
Yeah, we were sat in, what, Edinburgh Airport on the way back from Scottish Short Course where we were filming last weekend. Mm. And we just sat there and just went, hang on. There's a 4-3 and a 2-3. Two events apart.
Mental.
Like, I get swimming has a lot of events and it's hard to fit them all into a six-day schedule. It's never easy, but we were just at Scottish Short Course and they fit it into three. Mm. And there's not clashes like this. Like, this is mental. It's really tough. Like, even if you've got those two in the same session, pull them apart a bit. Like, put one at the start and one at the end. Give swimmers a chance to swim both. You had no one did the double on that.
Not for that women's 4 and 2, no. I mean, for the Saturday, for the 100 free semis and the 200 free final,
yeah,
you did have people doing double, like Popovic and Matt, for example, of course. But that Sunday one was just impossible. How are you supposed to perform really well in the 200 free final when you've just swam a 400? Ah, dear. I don't know who made that scheduling, but that's...
We spoke, it was like a few weeks ago, to Kyle Sockwell about swimming shooting itself in the foot. Like, come on, man. Everyone knows the events. Everyone knows it's 6 days. Sit down, work it out a little bit better than this. Like, this
well,
is...
Well, if you're LEN, you want the best performances so that, you know, it promotes LEN. That's the idea, isn't it? But by doing that, you're...
Like, from a British point of view, that the women's 2 and 4, the clash that you've got, Freya Colbert could have swam both of those. I fully expect she, if they weren't in the same session, she would have swam both of those. But
quite
you've
possibly.
Just lost yourself a potential medal challenging swimmer.
Yeah,
because
well,
of the schedule.
I know it's not just going to infect people like Freya, but it affects the whole lot. So everyone's on the level playing field. But I'm thinking from LEN's point of view, you're not going to get the very best 200 freestyle final that you can possibly get. So it doesn't put it in the best light. You know, it's a very strange decision and they could have easily sorted that out. And I don't know what they were thinking. To be perfectly honest with you, I don't know who was in charge of that. But yes, that's the one negative. And I think there was only really one negative from a British point of view, but that was a big one.
Yeah, from a British point of view, it's hard to say negative. In my eyes, I think it's just something I've seen a lot of people talking about. And I think we maybe just need to address it and just say, come. Tom Dean didn't have the best of weeks, but he is not what I would say as a short course specialist.
Not at
all. And you are stuck at a meet where it looks worse because Brits take four for his events, and like only the top two can qualify. So whereas usually like the disappointment at a meet like this wouldn't have even come because he either might not have made the team of the event or just might not have been picked, because you would have picked Matt and Jimmy for the 2-3. But like a concern next year? No.
He's not a short course swimmer, and he just happens to be in events where we are extremely deep, like the 1 and 2-3. You know, even the 2IM, we've got like Joe Litchfield, who is, I would say, a short course swimmer because of the turns. Yeah. And he just fell victim to the 2-swimmer rule, which I think I agree with because it includes more countries. But in terms of, again, from an LEM point of view, you're getting rid of some of the best swimmers. And so the performances then in a final could be better. But that's just the way it is.
It has always been the way. At Europeans, yes. You get then bigger fields when it comes to the heats. So I do get it from that perspective.
Yes.
But when you're like, we're going to get through it when we go day by day. You've got three from the same nation going 1, 2, 3. It's hard. But the biggest positive from that, on the flip side, for British swimming, if you've got three very good swimmers, they know they can't take the heats easy because... they're going to miss out, which is what happened to Tom, which is what happened to a few others. And it's tough to see. But I'm not worried about Tom whatsoever at this point. Like, this meet isn't going to win him the Olympics.
I honestly think
which is the end goal.
He was super unlucky in the end. I think he was missing by 0.1, 0.2 against the second GB swimmer. It's just the way it is. It's cutthroat, just like all sport is.
Yeah.
I've got no concerns. He is a long course swimmer. He will turn up at trials and all the other meets, Edinburgh International, whichever events he takes part in. We'll get onto the 200-free anyway, but that's like, that's a
big
old race now.
All you have to do is look how he swam in season long course last year. Edinburgh International was one of them. International was another one. He was fast mid season.
Beating
the light of Matt and Jimmy all season long.
Yeah.
So just turn of the year, he'll be fine. Let's go into it then, Dan. Let's start on day one, where two of GB's 9 gold medals kick off what is an astonishing meet, essentially. And we start with the women's 400 IM and a 1-2. this is one of these events where we had the 2-swimmer rule really kick us because Katie Shanahan didn't qualify.
Yeah.
It just shows the depth of iron swimming in this country. But Abby actually won this fairly comfortably. And I think it's her first major title.
I believe so, yes.
So it's a really good confidence builder going into next year, especially after a few seasons of kind of glandular fever, a bit of disappointment after Tokyo. We spoke to her straight after and she came fourth, yes, but she wasn't satisfied with that. Feels like really good stepping stones for her leading into a big year.
We did say in a video that the British women should be at the forefront of people's minds because I think... that they thought they were going to do well
ahead with the qualifying times, don't they?
And they do. And the fact that they've now gained a lot of confidence, I think this has done really wonders for Abby. And I think Freya as well, and Katie, who we'll talk about later on. The girls, they're all best friends. The team morale is amazing. And I think this is a big wake-up call for the rest of the world, I think. I know we're potentially a little bit behind. Let's say you're Americas or something like that. You know, when you've got
Alex Walsh.
Alex Walsh, thank you,
And Kate Douglas. What, they were going 207s at the US Open.
Yes, I know.
which is good.
It's very fast, so we're a little bit off that. But at the same time, I mean, Abby's done her job. Freya Colbert's done her job. Casey was just unfortunate that she missed out because of the two-person rule. But the depth is definitely there. I think Leah Schlossen as well, but we'll talk about Sundrium later. But I am in the women's game, and British swimming is in a good place right now, and I'm looking forward to what happens in... the next year.
Yeah, we'll talk about the 2AM later on because I think that event come trials might actually be as competitive as men's 2-3. Like, it's closing in on that to make that team. You've got four swimmers straight away who can get under the qualifying time or the nomination standard and make the team. So it's going to be a really
good
battle.
We'll get onto it.
We will. And then, of course, the other two medals that came in day one were the 4x50 freeze. The men's side won gold in a 1:22.52, which was, of course, a British record. Some very fast swims. Ben Proud gave a little teaser of what was to come.
Yeah.
My bigger question on this is, do we need these events long course? Because this was fun. This was really fun.
Well, interestingly, because they did this at the Edinburgh meet they've just been, the Scottish Winters, yeah. And it's quick. It's short course.
Yeah.
It is the same thing. Yeah, it's quick. It's exciting. It's over quite quickly because you have the relay takers. They're diving, and these guys are swimming 20 seconds. It's over in like a minute and a half, something along those lines. And it's exciting. You know, you have to be so perfect over a 50, as everyone knows, but you have to be even more perfect on this relay because relay takeovers are part of it as well. I just think it's a brilliant thing to include. But again, we've just spoken about how the scheduling can affect things.
I don't know
if there's space, but then we want individual 50s to be involved in Olympics as well and stuff like that, and then you want that included as well. Oh, it's difficult. It's going to end up being like a two-week meet, so I don't know if that's possible, but it would be very exciting. It really would.
Maybe I'm on the fence with it in long course form. I think short course, it really works. Long course, maybe not so much. I think you lose a little bit of the excitement going like up and down and up and down, and it's done.
I suppose the other side of it being long course is that you have two at each end. So the whole team aren't actually together celebrating.
Can you imagine how weird the celebration would be? Like shouting down the 50? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so from that point of view, it wouldn't be great, and it'd be a complete nightmare for like TV trying to get both ends kind of filming at the same time. That would be like a nightmare.
Oh, we gotta think about the TV channels, especially when they don't pick it up again.
Yeah, short course, I think it works. Long course, it might need a little bit more thinking, and scheduling wouldn't happen, would it?
But so. Like the theme of the relays of this was I enjoyed them.
Yeah,
throughout the whole meet.
They're great fun.
Okay, day two then, a little bit of a quieter day in terms of the medal front, but still two medals. So one swimmer who just missed out, Anna Hopkins, she had a great meet overall. She came fourth, missing bronze by 0.02. That's literally less than a blink of an eye.
Yeah.
It's always the difference in the 50. She just didn't quite get a hand on the wall first. What can you say? Just a bit unlucky, but still very fast swims from her all week.
Yep.
And then the men's 100 fly, Jacob Peters, dips under 50 seconds for the first time in a 49.98. And to me, is kind of looking like the man to beat now in the 100 fly. Yes, it's short course, but he was impressive last year. He was making big strides. We know his training changed from a little less in the pool, a little more in the gym. And I would expect to see results like this for him in short course if that is the way he's kind of head in his training program.
Yeah, I honestly think Jacob is one to watch out for. I do. I think he's getting better and better. Obviously, the first time he's just gone sub 50, that's a big barrier when it comes to the short course 100 fly. Hopefully he can do it in the long course pool. That would be insane. Then he's looking good for a podium,
well,
I think. But I mean, obviously Jimmy swam the race and he is, I suppose, still on paper, our number 100 fly swimmer. Like he would be
long course, yeah.
He would be picked in the medley relay, I think, still. But I think Jacob's gonna put his name in the hat to say, actually, I'm the one who's doing the better times right now, I'm the one in form. It's a difficult pick if you're British swimming.
It's a really, really hard comparison because actually Jacob is swimming the better 100 fly.
He is.
But Jimmy, when you look at the whole meat of this, is in the form of his life again. Like
yes,
he's back there. And you can see that from his 2-3. So maybe like right now it's just getting, I'd argue the 2-3 looks like his target this year.
Ooh.
So maybe it's getting that underneath him and then the 100 fly just happens. Whereas before he's been like working on his 100 for that medley relay, the team player. It looks like this season's going to be a little bit more selfish, Jimmy, which is rightly so. I'm not putting a favorite on either of them, actually.
I am split down the middle of whoever's going to win that 100 fly. I mean, who knows? Mildred could come through, or Jamie Ingram could come through at trials. Who knows? But these two are the top two guys. But Jacob is swimming really well.
Ed Mildred did have a good meet, actually.
Yeah, he did.
You talk about that. I think he finaled in the 2-fly, came 7th.
That's good memory, if that is true. I can't remember. But I know he swam well, and he's, again, all experience building for him. I've put him in the brackets of fringe swimmer for a while, and it just needs that little step up. He has made his move to Performance Centre, so hopefully that move has helped him. He's been there now a while.
He's been there a while, yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully that will pay dividends quite soon. Hopefully this is the year for him. But Jacob is doing amazing. The last 2 years, year and a half, 2 years, he is just getting better and better. And I think he's going to do wonders. I think he is going to be on the team, I think. It's just whether he gets on that medley relay, because that's a big choice, I think.
Mm. I was right. Ed Mildred, seventh. Two fly, 153.53. But I'm jumping forward a few days on that.
That is incredible memory.
I remember seeing it on a British Swimming Instagram story. And then the second medal of day two came in the men's 4x50 medley relay, where the guys won a silver against a very experienced Italian team. Ollie Morgan, Archie Goodman, Jacob Peters, and Matt Richards bring home the silverware. I like the makeup of that team. It feels like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years down the line, that makeup could still be there.
They're all that young, aren't they? They're all in their very early 20s, 21, 22, that sort of range. And so, 4 years' time, it could be the exact same team, which bodes well, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good experience builder for Ollie and Archie as well. Day three, possibly the best swim from a British swimmer, if you don't count an Irish one. Ben Proud in the 53 goes a 20.18 to rattle Caleb Dressel's 50 freestyle world record. Obviously a new British and European record, the second fastest time ever. There's already been plenty of videos breaking it down from, coach James Gibson, swimsuit guy. Essentially, his underwaters and breakouts look back to world-class. They've always been world-class. But now world leading.
I know. I tell you what, if there's a perfect swim. Now, the problem is my knowledge is not great when it comes to fine details of sprinting. Like, he can break down every little minute detail. But for me, that was like a perfect swim. The speed he came off the wall with, the underwaters, the breakout, just amazing. Like, I don't know where he would improve on that. The catch under the water was awesome. Holding the water. Where do you go? I mean, he's getting better and better. I think that, when he had his almost his disappointment in Tokyo, he labelled it a disappointment. He came fifth, didn't perform how he wanted. Ever since then, obviously last year, he had his amazing summer, his three golds. He was undefeated. He's now come into this season, basically nearly hitting a world record, going the fastest time, potentially, or second fastest time, sorry. He is just getting stronger and stronger. He's a monster, isn't he?
Ridiculous. I'm looking at this and I was hoping there would be something in the splits that could tell me, he could improve there. But the reaction time was 0.58. That's very good.
Yeah.
25 meters, 9.64.
Yep. That's
pretty good. And the last 25 was a 10.5. Like, what?
Yeah, I know. That's what his coaches would understand, or anyone who's a sprint specialist will absolutely know where he needs to work on to find that extra, 200 seats off the world record, or 400, something along those lines?
The short course, that season's done now. Short course season's done. I'd say that's box ticked.
He really wanted to win that medal in his interview with Nick afterwards. That was a big goal of his. I think that was a medal that he hadn't won outside of the Olympics, of course. I can't remember what he said, but he was being quite humble about that. He knows he's not the best sprinter ever, because obviously when Caleb was swimming, now you've got Cam swimming as well as he is. And he doesn't put himself in the same bracket as being a top sprinter or the best sprinter at the time.
That's hard.
It's hard, harsh.
With his ridiculous year, he's up there.
It surely has to be, doesn't he?
Yeah, in my eyes, I'm very biased. I'm very, very biased.
Of course,
biased.
We both are, yeah.
Does this time make everyone sit up and think Ben's now got a chance against McAvoy in the long course pool?
Oh, we'd have to see him when he comes to the first time he races long course, I guess. That will be the best gauge, because the 53 short course is a completely different race to long course. There's more elements, isn't there? Obviously, the turn and the underwater, and there's another breakout.
Yeah, but if there's one thing that Ben could do to put a little bit of pressure on McAvoy, it's the first 15.
It is. True.
And this, to me, makes it look like Ben's worked very hard at improving an already world-class first 15.
Yeah. I mean, I still stand by Cam is the fastest man in the water when it comes to swim speed. I don't think there's anyone that would beat, and no one would beat him on top of the water, but Ben can beat him. And I think does beat him on the first 15. So he's got to utilise that to his maximum advantage. and then effectively, weirdly, on a 50, hold on, which is bizarre to say. But again, I'm not a sprinting guru, so he would know what to do. But that's a fantastic swim. I mean, it's almost a shame that he didn't break the world record. But either way, that's an incredible swim.
And then we go on from the 53 to the women's 200 back, where we have a 1-2.
Yeah.
Mehdi Harris in the 2 back short course. This is a bit of Dave Hemming's magic now that she's moved over there. To beat Katie Shanahan, who is the 2 back specialist. I can't say I saw it coming going in.
Nope.
What I would say is clearly this is working on a bit more endurance for a 100 back. Dave Hemmings, if you're listening, correct me if I'm wrong. And backstroke in this country is good. It's strong because two back, like Italians are pretty good women's two back.
They are. Yeah, they are. I'm much the same as you. I thought Katie would go and be our strongest swimmer, I think, there. Maybe even winning gold herself. But Mehdi, I would say, is more of a 100-meter swimmer. The fact that she was able to hold on the last 100.
It was
and out.
2:02.
Yeah, it's very good. Very
She's
good
beat
indeed.
Panziera.
Yeah. No, really good swim. I just think maybe backstroke in this country is getting better. Mm-hmm. We've been digging at it in for quite a while, saying we need a backstroker on kind of the women's side and the men's side. Now, I know Kathleen Dawson had her time in Tokyo and she was breaking European records,
then, yeah.
Of course, actually, at the time. Obviously, she's been through an injury. We'll talk about that because she made a final later on in the meet. But yeah, Mehdi is obviously the move to Loughborough has worked so far, but we don't know that for sure because obviously it's just short course at the moment. But in terms of skills, which is what short course season really is all about, the turns and the underwaters, that seems to be working well for her. And hopefully it transitions into the 100 back long course, which I think is her more suitable race or her more favoured race.
It'd be interesting if she keeps the two back on her schedule in the long course season. See what happens when they race in like 2 weeks' time. The Dave Hemming squad go to the Northampton Open meet. So I'm interested to see what happens there with them.
Yeah, because I suppose Freya Colbert, I don't know if she's going to enter the two back when it comes to trials. Maybe that's an event Mehdi targets. Because like we've always said, it's quite an easy race to final in. You just got to go, just have to go 2:08, which is, I think that could be in the realms of possibility.
As in Olympic final.
Olympic final, yeah. I think that's in the realms of possibility for Mehdi.
Yeah, I would
think
agree.
Maybe that's the target.
Yeah.
As well as 100, of course.
100%, 100%. And then the last medal of that day came in the women's 4x50 medley relay. Impressive considering there isn't really a 50 fly specialist in the squad that went. Kenna McInnes is, in my eyes, more of a two. Comes down to one.
Yeah.
But Imogen Clark with a rocket leg of a 28.66 kind of underlined why I know a lot of people have been like calling for her selection for British swimming for year after year, especially when it comes to like world short course.
Mm-hmm.
She's not been given the chance to show what she can do, really, which is a real disappointment, like because there's been the bias towards the long course selections going to short course meets. But like she showed her class this week.
Yeah, I mean, she will get onto her 50 breaststroke later on, but she goes to these international meets when given the opportunity, and she does come back swimming well, always. And either there or thereabouts on the podium, this meet, obviously, she's come away with bronze medals, which is incredible for her. But because she's had that opportunity, she's been able to bring that back to British swimming. Will that change? I really hope so. I really do.
She's definitely more of the 50 specialist.
Yes, definitely.
Just needs to translate it over to the 100, but we know she's been working on that for a while now.
Yes, yeah.
Day 4 then, 3 medals for British swimming. Kick things off, Duncan Scott in Duncan We Trust gets his gold medal in the 200 IM with an incredible breaststroke leg.
Yeah.
So you hit a British record in a 150.98.
Yeah, and I do wonder if this is the event he now targets the most. Because we know how deep the 200 free is, and he is, without doubt, he's our number one 200 IM swimmer. The problem is, when it comes to the international stage,
you've got
Carson Foster there, you've got Wang Shun, who's the Chinese IM swimmer who won Olympic gold in Tokyo, then of course you've got Liam Xiong. It's a deep field when it comes to the international scene, but then you could say the same for the 200 free. He's in tough races. We said this about Dino at the start. It's hard. I don't know what he targets. Obviously, I assume he's just going to race all of them because that's what he does. Yeah, and every yeah. time he and every time he brings it home and does what he does best.
It's funny. Yeah. This is another conversation we had in Edinburgh Airport waiting for our flights. We were like, look, if you break it down, Duncan's best shot and Olympic gold is probably the 200 free.
That's correct. I would say so.
But it's incredibly hard to make that team
yeah.
in the 2-3.
It's insane, isn't it? Well, I was saying to you, I mean, we haven't even got to the 200 free yet.
We're next day, so we'll jump in it.
But yeah, listen, Duncan swam amazing. His breaststroke is improving tenfold at the moment.
Which it does make me think that IM's maybe a little bit more of the target. But like we said, like the 2-3's there. He's not going to not race it. Of course, he wants to be on that 4x2 relay. And then at trials, you know what? There's 4 guys that can make the team. 2 are going to be disappointed. It's a little bit of a coin flip now.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
About who that is. We'll get into it when we look at day 5. But the other medals on day 4, the women's 100 free, both Anna and Freya, like yet again, they're two very different swimmers, but two very, very similar swimmers. They're on the podium yet again at Europeans. Anna with a silver and a PB, which, like we said, right at the top, swimming very well at this meet in a 51.66. And then Freya just closing speed as always, like you expect that when she comes down from the 2 to the 1.
Yeah, we haven't talked much about PBs, but I think a lot of these guys did PB. Obviously, yeah. Duncan just did with the British record, like we were just saying, but a lot of the guys were PBing.
I think this is why we started this podcast saying, like, there's so many positives because these British swimmers are swimming fast.
They are. Yeah. It's not normally at this sort of time of year, you don't really, you should be in hard training blocks. I don't know if they
did taper.
Targeted this.
A few tapered.
Yeah. So they must have targeted this quite a lot, I suppose. And then the next taper would be then trials, of course. So maybe it's an early taper. I don't know. But
Who was I speaking to? I was speaking to someone up at Edinburgh, and do you know what? I'm really sorry. I've forgotten who it was. But it's actually a really good chance to test your taper ahead of Olympics and ahead of trials, and just see how you've reacted to what the plan is going to be put in place. And I would say a lot of these guys, it's worked.
Well, I think the altitude stuff is an absolute must.
Yeah,
that
actually,
seems to work.
If you go through a lot of these medalists and a lot of these finalists, I'd probably say 75% of them went to Flagstaff or have been to altitude.
It clearly makes a difference. We had Archie on, didn't we, the other week?
Yeah.
And he was talking about how altitude can help and that the adaptations your body goes through.
Let's not go too deep into that. Let's if you want to listen back to what happens altitude training to your body, go listen to the episode with Archie Goodman. I think that's the best place to go. But yeah, like, it is funny, like, I see all of the photos of who went to Flagstaff and I'm like, yep, they did well at Europeans, yep, that one did well, yep.
Yeah, and I think Anna and Freya just, they do what they always do in 100 free. They, weirdly, two different swimmers, two different heights, two different styles, and yet they hit pretty much the same sort of time. It's a weird one, I think. But silver and bronze for both those girls, and they get medals later on, if I remember correctly, as well, in more relays. So, yeah.
They do. Well done for saving that tangent. Day 5, then, the best day in the pool for British women. 3 golds, 2 bronzes. We'll start with a women's 100 back. Like we said, Mehdi, an incredible shape right now. She's doing really well. And as you teased, Dan, Kathleen Dawson, a 4th. She'll be disappointed not to make the podium, but it does look like the road to recovery is on.
If we fast forward to trials, I think she's put her name back in the hat again. If you've got your names of Lauren Cox, Casey Shanahan, I think will be a challenge in 100 backstroke as well as Mehdi, of course. There's 4 girls there that go into 2 slots. It's going to be a very interesting race, both on the men's and the women's side. It's going to, backstroke in this country, I think, is getting a bit of depth, and I think it's what's needed to try and push these times and these spots on, I suppose. So, yeah, it's very interesting. It's good to see Kathleen back, of course. She's obviously doing a lot of work up there with Steve and Bradley up in Stirling, and she's not far away from getting international podiums yet again.
I know. It's really good to see her back. I think it took maybe 6 months longer than most people were expecting. I think people saw her racing last summer at Champs and thought, oh, she's back. Thank God. But it takes time to get back up to where she was, because she was in the top 1, 2, 3 of women's 100 backstroke.
She was. She's the fastest European swimmer by, I wouldn't say a country mile, but she was winning. She was getting European records. So
she's beating Kira Toussaint, who was in great form herself.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm looking forward to her return. Yeah, I hope she does really well when it comes to trials.
And then we have to talk about the men's 2-3 then. Like, big talking point. Matt wins gold. Jimmy Silver to beat out Popovic in his home pool.
Came fourth.
That, no shakes, like, really good swim.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with the swim whatsoever. But Matt's slowly solidifying himself as a favourite for the Olympics now, I would say.
If he gets on the team.
Well, yeah.
That's the biggest thing, isn't it? You know, we've got four incredible 200 freestylers, and two of them are not going to be swimming the individual. It's going to be a heartbreaking. Like, it's going to be heartbreaking for two of them. It's going to be actually quite a painful watch, I think, at trials, just to see the other two. Oh, it's going to be difficult. But at the moment, you have to say Matt is favourite to be the number one 200 freestyler, because he's winning golds every time he races it. And his closing speed right now is beating Popovic. And he was probably known for the fastest back end 50, I think, or one of. So, yeah, he's doing really well. And then Jimmy, I think that's probably the biggest talking point here.
Yeah, the move has worked.
Definitely. He does a different sort of tactic, and it's a tactic I really like. You you attack it from the get-go and you just hang on. And he did hang on. He hang on for silver in the end, with Rapsis just closing in behind him. But I don't know what he's going to do come trials. I mean, it's going to be fascinating. He's really come back to find his form. Like, I think that's the first time he's PB'd for 7 years. Incredible.
Was it PB or was it like first international individual medal?
It might have been both. I'm not quite sure.
Medal individually doesn't sound right.
No, I think.
I think you're right. But
yeah,
it definitely was a PB for both of them.
Yeah.
I think if anyone hasn't seen the interview that Nick Hope did on Poolside, go have a look just to see the emotion of what it means for him to be back racing individual 200 frees on the European stage, but like at international meets. It means the world to him to be back up to this level. Rightly so. Like, he's been patient. He's been the ultimate team player for British Swimming for a very long time. There were whispers a few weeks ago, a month ago, that, you know, Jimmy's the favourite for the 2-3 at trials. And I was kind of sat up at that. I was like, he's only just gone to Millfield. Where's this come from? Where's this talk come from? And then you see him do this, and he doesn't usually race short course.
No, it's... I don't know what Ryan Livingston
the talk's
is doing.
There.
I don't know what he's doing at Millfield, but he has got Matt firing. He's now got Jimmy firing in a matter of months, really. It's amazing what he's doing. I wouldn't be surprised if more people go down to Millfield because of the results that these guys are getting. And it's not just these guys. Emily Large as well is swimming amazing at Millfield. Mm. Alex Painter, among others. Yeah, I don't know where Jimmy goes with this. He might be the one to knock out either potentially a world champion, the Olympic silver medalist, or the Olympic champion. Can you believe that? That's insane. So, honestly, he's doing amazing. And, yeah, like you were saying, the emotion, he wears his heart on his sleeve. And, I think it's great. I think it's amazing what he's doing.
I love it. Like, every time Jimmy races and every time he does an interview these days, I love it.
Yeah, it's entertaining, isn't it?
I do want to give a shout out as well on the back of these 2-3s that Jack McMillan actually fell foul of the 2-swimmer rule ahead of Tom Dean, because he came fourth in the
heats. Can you believe? Yeah.
And he went a 1:42.4. So while we say there's these four incredible swimmers that British Swimming have fighting out for these two spots, there are other swimmers who are going to be throwing their names in the hat. So Jack McMillan, Joe Litchfield, who did really well in the 2-3 last year. Just everyone knows by now, trials, last race of trials, it always is.
Yeah.
Just... it's going to be unbelievable.
It is.
And that wasn't even like the last medal of the day, day five. Like, the women's 2 a.m., Abby backs up her 4 a.m. and wins the double.
Yeah.
Katie in fourth. Leah Slosson, she missed out the final with this two swimmer rule. She finished in like a 2:07.8 in the heats.
Not bad.
Like, these girls had to go fast to make the team. And like I said, when we were talking about the 4 a.m., this 2 a.m. with Abby, Katie, Leah, Freya, Colbert. It's stacked. Like, we just talked about the 2-3. Those are four girls that on paper, there's not that much separating them other than Abby's now a double European champion.
Yeah, four swimmers to squeeze into two again. It's one of those situations. I'm really excited for women's medley at the moment. I would probably say Abby is still the person to beat, even though Katie beat her last tramps, didn't she, actually? Then one of the races, I would say, of the whole meet. It might happen again, you never know. But again, another massive build, confidence builder for Abby. Katie, probably a little bit unfortunate to finish fourth, but I see, if I'm Katie, I think I would target the back more so than the IMs. But at the same time, she could easily final in the four IM.
And yeah, she's always got the four. I think she'll always keep the four IM.
Yes, yeah. And they've both got, when we're talking about Freya as well, both Freya and Casey have got a great chance in the 400 IM when it comes to, granted, if they qualify, of course, but when it comes to Paris, they've got a great chance of medaling. But yeah, it's weird that Leah Schlossen is just in this sort of era at the moment where it's just one of those stacked events.
Jacob Peters finished fourth in the 50 fly with a British record in 22.1, which it's kind of stupidly impressive when you think that Ben Proud usually swims a 50 fly.
And I think that just shows how well Jacob is swimming.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's just doing everything right at the moment.
And to finish behind No Ponting, who did the triple.
Yeah, he did really well.
Sebastian Sabo, who I believe has the joint world record.
Yes, I think that's correct, yeah.
And then Maxime Grosset, who was the hottest fly swimmer in the world last year.
Exactly, yeah. So that result of fourth, actually, it was pretty decent. The British record either way is pretty decent, of course.
He wasn't far behind either. Yeah. I just echo what we've said previously about Jacob. He's moving.
He's on the right track.
On the upward trajectory. Yeah. Yeah. Then the mixed 4x50 freestyle relay. Another gold in the British pocket. A British record. Great swims from everyone, actually, this one. Ben Prowder, 20.39, kind of backing up his 50 from the previous day. I know there were a few whispers that he would go after an unofficial world record to lead off the team.
Yeah.
It's hard to replicate what was almost perfection previously. And then Lewis Burris, 20.69. Anna Hopkin, 22.95. Damn.
Yeah, quick.
And Freya Anderson, the 23.72 to finish. That's close to the perfect relay swim, really.
Yeah, I'm not. That's going to be a hard British record to beat, I think. Because you've got Proud, who's an out-and-out 50. I think Burris is pretty solid at 50, of course. Anna is as well. It's just Freya Anderson, who isn't a 50 specialist, but she did her job pretty well, I would say. So that's going to be a really difficult record to break. And, yeah, a very good gold. They all swam really well, as did the whole team, and we haven't even finished yet.
Yeah, we'll keep rattling through this now. This podcast is gone a bit longer than Dan's prediction.
Yeah.
And then we finish things up for the Brits in day six with five medals to end the meet. Let's talk about Luke Greenbank, Dan, 200 backstroke. Yeah. And let's talk more than just this individual swim. Let's go a bit broader and talk about Rotterdam at the same time. So 1:48.5, British record, short course 200 backstroke. And the reason I want to talk about Rotterdam as well is because he's already swam this year underneath the nomination time for the 200 backstroke, and he crushed a 1:56 long course 200 back.
Yeah.
He looks back to his best.
And it's exciting.
Very, very exciting. I think he had a down year last year, and he started in the pool, I think, May? From when we spoke to him?
Yeah, May, June. Yeah,
May, June, like him and Adam had the same sort of thing. They went away, they came back while everyone else was off racing at Worlds. These two were training with Mel, and it's clear to see the progress. Like, he's back. There's no doubt about it in my mind.
He will always have his aerobic base under him. Yep. He does so many meters in training, and he will just... I don't know how to explain it. He will always have his aerobic base underneath him, so there's always a level of fitness that he will always have. And so he just needs to tap into that again and find a bit of form, a bit of confidence. He's had his rest, and he's backfiring, both long and short course. British record, that was, that 1:48 in Romania. So, and then he's obviously translated that into long course as well. This was before Rotterdam, wasn't it? Rotterdam was the week before.
Yep.
Very exciting. Very exciting. I think he may even challenge the podium again when it comes to Paris based on that.
He's fully laid down a marker in world swimming already.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And kind of almost shown to the rest of British swimming, like, he's the boss of the two back. Like, he is.
Yeah.
If he swims anything like that at champs, it's going to be really hard to beat. And yeah, he's got another training cycle to go through.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Again, the 100 is up for grabs, but when it comes to the 200, Luke is the guy to beat, definitely.
Still. Yeah, in my mind, yeah. 100% yeah. right now. I guess the only disappointment, it was the silver. In the short course, yeah. two back this weekend, it was the silver. Only just. Mm. But still, like, British record, PB, swimming out of this world.
Solid swim.
You can't ask for too much more.
Yeah.
Too much more. Now, swimmer who didn't get silver, Freya Anderson in the women's 2-3. Freya Anderson and Freya Corbett make the podium, just to show that the depth of quality that these two girls have. The 4x2 for British women next year in the women's side might be one to quietly look at a little bit.
Starting to get there. Yes. Yeah, I like it. I wonder if you throw Mehdi in there, because if our, you know, our theory is correct, if she's targeting the 200 a little bit more as well as the 100 back, maybe the 200 frees in there a little bit as well. Then you throw in Lucy Hope and maybe even Abby.
It's
looking a pretty good team. And obviously the Freyas are the two top girls in the team. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's looking a relatively decent team. I don't know if they challenged for the podium. Obviously, the Australians are extremely strong, so as are the Chinese, as are the Americans. But you never know. You never know.
For me, this event kind of backed up our talk that the girls are the ones to look at.
Mm.
At this meet, we said it in a video on our YouTube channel leading into it. And they really did perform top-notch all week long.
Yeah. I think they really did.
There were very few disappointments all week long, especially from the big guns that you expect this from. And it's a massive confidence builder, especially when you just said you throw the Americans, the Chinese, and the Australians into the mix in women's swimming. It's a very different ball game.
Yes.
But the Brits have momentum behind them right now, which is a big thing, I think, against that competition and needed.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm just looking forward to seeing what they do in the future. We've tried to big up the women's side of British swimming, even though the men's side are the ones bringing in the medals and they get the headlines because of the 4x2 mainly, and now the 4x1. But I think the women are starting to get there. They're starting to catch up, I think, which is, I think, very exciting for British swimming.
Rightly so. Then another medal on the board for Duncan Scott in the 400 IM to round out his week. A 4:17, just outside his own British record. Mm. Maybe a little bit of an argument that he could focus on the 4 a.m, but we've already gone through all of the permutations of what depth of British swimming means for him. Again, his breaststroke looks strong in this, maybe just not quite strong enough to bring home the gold, but it's the end of a long week.
Yeah, the breaststroke is definitely something he's improved on. He did attack this race, but he just didn't quite have the back end to, I think it was Rossetti who beat him in the end by 2, maybe 3 seconds. But yeah, it's a very good effort from him either way.
And then Imogen Clark ends, like we've already said, an impressive meet for her with a joint bronze in the 50 meters breaststroke. We've already spoken about it, but really, if you're winning medals at international meets, take her. She's a 50 specialist, so what? Like, you're winning medals at these meets. She would have probably won medals elsewhere for British swimming. And, like, Lauren Cox brought a lot of eyes on the sport last summer, especially women's side. Imogen could have done that before as well.
Like, absolutely.
Give her the confidence to be racing 50s.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to bring up Lauren, and actually you've stolen exactly what I was just going to say, so I'm just going to almost echo what you said. And Imogen has just as good a chance of winning medals as Lauren does, and so you have to pick her, surely. That's 100%. What I'd be doing.
Yeah. And then we finish the meet for British swimming, if we talk about the individuals, with Matt finishing fourth in the 100 metres freestyle, Jacob Whittle finishing eighth. I know Jacob has actually made leaps and bounds and strides in the 100 recently. He's PB. Had PBs, especially, like, we just spoke about Luke in the Rotterdam meet. Jacob was incredibly impressive at the Rotterdam meet, so his move looks like it's paid off.
Yep.
Just unfortunate Matt missed out on the touch, really. That was as simple as it. But the two guys in the middle, actually, were world class. Maxime Grosset and Marezzi. Just unbelievable.
103 is deep in the men's game, as is the 200. And in fact, freestyle in general, because you go all the way up to the distance event as well. So, it's just an unfortunate fourth, but I think Popovic has probably deserved a bit of a podium there with his homecoming. Yeah, yeah. So it's I think it's good for the crowd that he actually did get on the podium eventually. So
the atmosphere when he was poolside looked nuts.
I know, when he walked out the first time, oh boy. Yeah, that was loud.
Okay, so that rounds up the meet for British swimming. 23 medals, 9 golds, 8 silvers, 6 bronze. Makes it the best ever meet at a European short course that we've had for British swimming. We spoke about this in the intro. This will be undeniably a huge boost leading into January, February, the winter months, which are tough. All of these swimmers have now got momentum, especially in the pre-Olympic year. And I'm excited. I'm really excited for 2024. Now, we cannot finish this podcast,
of course,
without speaking about a previous guest and an Irishman who has turned the world upside down in distance swimming.
Yeah.
Dan Whiffen has just had the meet of his life, and I still feel like he's getting started. So he won 3 golds in the 400, the 1500, and the 800. And he obliterated a Grant Hackett world record in the 800, which has stood for 15 years for a reason. It was a good swim, like a very, very fast time. And he took near 3 seconds off it.
Yeah, I think one of the most amazing things that he did is that I think he negative splitted that race.
Yeah,
I think his final 400 was a 3:39, making the first 400 like 3:40. So he went quicker on the back end. That is sensational.
He swam it like an Aussie.
Yeah, literally, yeah, yeah. It's a massive world record. I mean, Grant Hackett was one of, if not the best distance swimmer that we've ever had do in the sport. And he's just broken that world record. That is a sensational swim. He's been talking about it for a while. And it's all, you can talk about it as much as you want, but the fact of talking it and then doing it, not many people can do that, and he's just done it. He is now on top of distance swimming in the country, definitely in the country of Ireland, in the world. He is the man to beat, has to be. It's now whether he can transition it or translate it over to the long course pool, which I believe he can. I mean, Andy Manley is doing such a good job of him. Geez, I don't know where he could go. I mean, is he going to be the one to break the Sun Yang world record in the 15?
I'm glad you moved to that. The 800 long course is impossible. The 1500, the Sun Yang one, the one that everyone wants to go. Everyone hates that world record for a very good reason.
I think it's a possibility.
It is. The only thing is distance swimming is as good as it has ever been.
Yeah.
But in a Olympic season, he has laid down a godly marker.
The biggest mark you could possibly mark, you know? So, yeah, I mean, we always wanted an Irish medal from him, or from any Irish swimmer, really, at the Olympic Games. He is now almost a favourite to not only get a medal, but potentially to win it. I know you've got Hafnui in there, you've got Bobby Fink in there. I mean, the names keep coming. They are, it's a big old field, and he's right up there. Sensational swim. I don't know what else to talk about. It's just an incredible swim.
I love the reactions afterwards. He's not your... I think he knows. He knows he needs to be a showman at these things. He's got his own YouTube channel with his twin, Nathan. They know what it means to be in front of the camera. He's not just sitting there on the lane rope, puffing and panting and saying whatever. He is on the lane rope, splashing all over the place, doing the Fortnite signs, giving the celebrations.
And isn't that what swimming needs?
Yeah.
It needs stuff like that.
Needs personality.
Personality, character, and then obviously to do
world records,
the swim as well to match that. It's a good old mixture.
I love it. And we predicted months ago now that Ireland would win a medal in Paris, and I'm looking more and more confident about that every time he gets in the water. So that just about rounds up this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. Thank you to everyone who stuck with us through this European short course review, speaking about the Brits, and of course the incredible Daniel Whiffen. We are going to be back in 1 week's time, so please subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify if you haven't already. And me and Dan will catch you in 7 days' time.
Yeah, thank you for listening, everyone, and we'll catch you on the next one.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.